Looking forward to a good word from Reverend Tony Jenkins. Make him feel welcome as he comes tonight.
Thanks, Pastor John. I want to show you something here in just a minute. I got a video I want to show you. But first of all, I'll say there's two things I always say when I get up to preach. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But how do we get faith? And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we're going to hear the word tonight. We're going to build faith. But first, I have some free marriage counseling that I wanted to share with you. Somebody showed me this the other day, and it's really, really good. I think you'll benefit from it. So we'll pay attention. It's 3 minutes long. Suffer with it 3 minutes, and then I'll get back to speaking.
And that's why I say, single people, if you dating somebody, you need to ask 1,000 questions during the dating process. You don't need to be sitting up there talking about, well, I go to church and I talk in tongues. And a big plus is I'm a member of World Change. Oh, praise the Lord, I done found my husband. You might have found the devil. Now, hold up a minute, girl. You need to ask some questions. Y'all need to sit down and go on a whole lot of dates. What's your name? Is that your real name? Do you have your daddy's name? When can I meet your daddy? Is your dad and mama together? How do you act when you get mad? Do you throw things? Do you cuss around? Do you beat up on people? I need to know, do you have a job? Where do you work at? How much money do you make? How long you been working there? Do you have a bank account? How is your credit? Can I see your credit score? Do you have a house? Are you living in an apartment? Do you pay for your gas in your car? Do you live with your mom and them? I need to understand what you're doing. What you like to eat? Do you plan on being fine like that all your life? Or you plan on getting big? How many children do you want to have? Will you get upset if we don't have no kids? You plan on having an inheritance? Do you have insurance? Can you pay for your funeral if you were to die today? You need to know who you're marrying. And don't you dare get married to somebody talking about, I've never seen him angry since I met him. It is not time to marry that person. You need to see how he looks. And you need to ask that woman, how you look without your makeup? Don't put none on tomorrow. I need to see. The hat you got on your head, is that yours? Or did you purchase it? And if you purchase it, is it paid for? Or are you in debt? I need to know. When you blink your eyes, are those your eyelashes, or did you buy those from somewhere? I need to know. You smell good today, but what about tomorrow morning? I need to know. Do you believe in taking showers at night or in the morning? Do you believe in taking 3 days off and then take shower? How is your relationship with soap and water? I need to know. What's your motive? All that time I love him and I'm ready to get married to him. You don't even know him. Ask him questions. I mean, in these days, ask all kinds. When you're going to marry somebody, ask some other questions. I know the big elephant in the room. Ask the question, are you attracted to men or women? Are you trying to marry me because you're trying to hide something? I know you look manly, but what is it? What you doing in the booth, in the back, in the corner, in the dark? Flip Wilson, I got to tell you, I need to know. Did your daddy commit adultery? Did his daddy commit adultery? Because I don't know if this thing, you know, got a part three in it, and I don't want to be no part of it. You asked a bunch of questions. Don't ever talk about you ain't got nothing to talk about. And don't wait till him or her starts the conversation. You start it. Sit down. How you doing today? All right. Pull the questions out. Let's go.
Now, wasn't that better than one of those dead, dry, stale jokes that Pastor John always tells? I'm just kidding. Now, you know I'm teasing, brother. I love you. Huh? Y'all know you're a funny man. When I met Master John in 95, I don't think the guy smiled till 2000. He was serious. He's a godly man. I love him. Praise God. Now, you young people, I hope that y'all listen to that, because every bit of that is true. Ask questions, okay? Renita asked enough questions for me when we first got married, me and her both. And I used to get so frustrated. Where's all these questions going? Why do you want to know all this stuff? But oh, thank God, she asked them, and I answered the right thing, and I've got her, and I've had her 36 years, and still going to keep her. I got the right one. Amen. Praise God. I want to talk to you tonight about the Holy Spirit. And I've got some things I want to share. We're going to talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And everybody knows that's in Acts chapter 2. It's great. If you go to a Pentecostal church, you've heard this all your life. But it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them tongues as a fire upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that's where we get the coming of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is the same. John the Baptist prophesied this in Matthew 3:11, when he said, indeed, I baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And he did. The Gospel of John prophesied this in John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17. I'm just going to read a few texts, and then I'm going to I'm going to share some with you. You can look them up later for time's sake. John chapter 14. I think somebody has took John out of my Bible. You ever had one of them days where you just really had a tough day? You know, the Holy Spirit gave me this message, started giving me this message Thursday. And then finished it Sunday, because I had to do it then, because I have not had any spare time whatsoever. You know, the Holy Ghost is so smart, if we could only understand that. He gave me all this text here Thursday and then Sunday, and I'm like, well, why are you giving me this, you know, like 5 days from now, Lord? You know, I'm gonna speak Wednesday, and I worked so hard yesterday. You ever had one of those days where you just like, you feel like, you know, I work like a mule, you know. And mules work hard, you know, that's what they use to plow the fields with and stuff. And then you've had those days where you feel like you work like a borrowed mule, you know. When you work like a borrowed mule, you borrow them somebody. So, hey, I'll work this thing to death, man. You know, it's not mine, it's borrowed. But then there's those days you've had where you feel like, I work like a borrowed Amish mule, and they really work hard. And that's been me for the last couple of days. I've had no time whatsoever. And I think today, you know, I think I'll go in. I'll refine my message this morning. And I get up, yesterday my brother calls me, a younger brother. Hey, can you take me for a medical procedure in the morning? You know, I got to have somebody go with me and drive me back. And I'm like, it's not a good day, Mike. Yes, I'll do it, though, and I did. And I was so tired this morning when I got up. I had to be somewhere early this morning, and I'm in there, I'm brushing my teeth, and you know, I squeeze toothpaste, and I drop the lid on the toothpaste, the little round thing, and it hits my toe, and it ricochets back under the vanity in our house. I mean, all the way to the very back, and I'm so tired. I told Renita, I said, I can't bend down and get the lid off the toothpaste that I dropped right now. I've just had one of them days, one of them last few days. I said, I'll get it later, hoping she'd come along and get it. She never did. So I go back and I get the lid later and put it on, you know, clean it off, put it on. And my day starts getting better. But I don't know why I got off on that.
Anyway, in John chapter 14, 16 and 17, John, Jesus prophesied. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Will be in you. Think about that. And in John 15, 26, one page over, Jesus still talking. He says, but when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me and he will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. One more page over. John 16, verse 5 through 7. It says, but now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. For if I depart, I will send him to you. Okay, verse 13. I love this verse right here. This is one of my favorite ones, John 16, 13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Tell you things to come. I'm going to stop right there for just a second. The Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. I'll give you an example. Just today. Daniel Hendy called me, and y'all know Daniel. You know, he went to church here for forever, and he was telling me for the last year I've been talking to Daniel back and forth, and he's told me, he said, you know, he says, I don't know why, he said, but I just feel like I'm supposed to get my CDL license for some reason. I'm supposed to get them. And I'm like, well, you know, hey, you can do it, you know. And he said, I don't know why. I've got a good job, but the Lord wants me to get my CDL license. I just know it. And over the period of the last year, he's went to school for it. He's laid out money for truck driving lessons. And he called me a couple months ago, and he's like, hey, man, he sent me a picture of him. I got my CDL license. I said, well, what are you going to do with him? He says, I don't know, but I've got him. Well, just today, Daniel called me. He says, man, I am so excited. You know, I'm getting ready to go to Guatemala on this mission trip. And he said, I talked to the main people down there in the ministry. And he said, you know what my job's going to be, one of my main jobs down there? I said, what's that? And he said, teach everybody to drive. He said, none of the people that work in the ministry down there can drive or have licenses. And he said, I'm going to be teaching them to drive. I said, that's why you've got those licenses. He said, that's right. You know, he had to go to school. He had to learn all this stuff. A lot of it we know, but he had to learn extra stuff. It's just the Holy Spirit. He will tell you things to come. He will show you. He will lead you in the way you should go. In Luke 24, in verse 49, Jesus is talking. He tells the disciples, tarry in the city Luke 24:49. He said, behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Okay. And stop right there just a second. Don't get confused with being born of the Spirit of God and baptized of the Spirit of God, because there is a difference. And I'm fixing to show you right now. Because this is something I struggle with for years. years after I became a Christian. I went to a denominational church, and they didn't teach this. They didn't teach any of this. You're born again. You got the Spirit of God. It's all you need. Praise God. You know, well, I had the Spirit of God, but if you look at John chapter 20, verse 19 through 22, let me show you something. Right here is where I believe. Well, I said something one day. I was talking to somebody, and I said, you know, I said the disciples. You know, they weren't born again men. Well, yes, they were. I said, well, no, they weren't. I wasn't following Jesus. Well, yes, they were. I said, well, how's that so? What's the qualification for being born again? I said, well, you got to believe Jesus died on the cross for mine and your sins, stayed in the grave for 3 days, and was raised up again, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. I said, he had not done all this when he was walking with the apostles on the earth. He had not done this. And I believe right here in verse 19 to 22 is where God made it available for people to be born again. I believe right here is where it starts. And let me read. It says, then the same day at evening became the first day, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them, saying, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw our Lord. So Jesus said to them, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now right there is where I believe mankind was born again. It's where it started. You remember in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where God formed man of the dirt. And then what did God do? He breathed into the nostrils of man. He became a living creature. Now, right there, I believe, starts it. But that's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's where the disciples were born again, had the Spirit of God in. That's what I believe. If you want to debate this, come and see me later. But I want to show you five times in the New Testament where people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. And we'll start off with the first one was, Acts chapter 2. It's the very first one. We just read it just a minute ago. Acts chapter 2, like I said, we read it a minute ago, and I'll start here with verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the first one. Second one, Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 18. Now, when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they had hands laid on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And then Simon saw that through laying on the hands of the apostles that the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money. And you know, how did he see this? Because it was evident, the speaking in tongues. That's the second example. Third, Acts chapter 9, verse 17 and 18. And Ananias went and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. That's the third example right there. The fourth is Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 46. While they were yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's the fourth example, and in the fifth one, Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 7. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus. Finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they answered and said to him, "We have not yet as much even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him who would come after him, that is, in Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, the men were about 12 in all. That's five examples right there, if you're taking notes, and we'll look at that. Let me share something here. When this happens to you, I remember when it happened to me when we first started going to this church here, you know, things just begin to change drastically in my life. I started operating in the gifts of the Spirit. I started hearing the voice of God. I mean, just like somebody was talking to you, and things happened. Let me share this right here with you in Acts chapter 19, right there in verse 11. It says, "Now God worked unusual, many miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Okay, I had this happen right here to me personally right here about 15 years ago. Me and Brother Harold and another minister, we were in Ukraine with Svetlana, and Svetlana, she's watching, she'll remember this. We were on a mission trip over there for a little over 2 weeks. We went to pray for this woman at a hospital over there. It was a member of Pastor Alexander's church. Many of you that's been on a mission trip to Ukraine, you remember Pastor Alexander, you know him. And a lady in his church, she sung in the choir, a blonde-headed lady, I can't remember her name. But we went, she was very sick. She had some kind of thing had happened. I don't remember if her appendix burst inside of her or what, but she was very sick. We went to the hospital to see her and pray for her. Well, we got there and she was not there, and come to find out they had moved her. We thought she had died before we got there. Come to find out they do things a little different in countries outside the United States. They moved the severe people that they thought were going to die, they move them to a different facility and take them out of general population with other people. And so they had taken this lady to a different hospital to die. And we, so when we found that out, we got in the van we were driving in, and we left. It was about a 30-minute drive, I guess, to this other hospital where this lady was being kept. And on the way, I remembered this verse right here, this text in the Bible. And I thought, well, you know, we don't have any handkerchiefs or aprons or nothing like that. But Svetlana had a scarf because in the Ukraine, certain churches you can't go into unless the women wear a scarf. And she had this scarf. And so I said, give me this scarf. So me and Brother Harold and Svetlana and Brother Ron was with us. We all started praying. We started praying in the Spirit, laying hands on that scarf and praying over it. For almost 30 minutes, we prayed over that on that scarf, touching it, holding it with our hands. And we got to the other hospital, and it was a real strict place, you know. They wouldn't let any of us men go in. So Svetlana was the only one to go in. And she went in. She stayed for about a half hour and came back out. She had the most puzzling look on her face. And it's like, well, what's wrong? She said, you won't believe it. She said, when I went in there, she said, I asked the lady, she said, where are you hurting at? And she showed her right here, you know. And she said, well, here, she said, I'm going to put this scarf on that right there. Because we'd read this in the Bible, you know, on the way there and then prayed in the Spirit. She put that scarf on her, and immediately the woman started screaming. And she said, what's wrong? What's wrong? She said, oh, get it off of me. Get it off of me. It's burning me. It's burning me. It's burning me. And you know what was burning her? The Holy Ghost was what was burning her. It was burning that infection, that disease out of her body. And, you know, we were all amazed that that happened. And that lady, I mean, she was instantly healed. She was at church on Sunday, the following Sunday, singing in the choir again, you know, giving up for dead in the hospital. But the Holy Ghost, you know, the Holy Ghost got a hold of her. It touched her, you know. Thank God, you know, that we were foolish enough, or whatever you want to call it, to believe this works, you know. I remember Brother John Wimber, he talked about doing the stuff. Anybody remember Brother John Wimber? He talked about doing the stuff. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but I used to listen to him back in the 80s, early 80s. And he talked about he got saved, got born again, was reading the Bible, and he wanted to, you know, he went to church one Sunday, and he was there, and he asked the usher, said, when do we start doing the stuff? He said, what stuff? He said, you know, the stuff, the praying for the sick, the casting out devils, you know, laying hands on people. He said, oh, we don't do the stuff here. He said, we talk about doing the stuff, but we don't do the stuff here. So Brother John, he left, went and found him a church, and did the stuff till he passed away and went on to be with the Lord. Praise God. But thank God that we were had read this and just believed God that he was going to do it. Holy Ghost did it. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call it, same thing. Right after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, things, like I said, things started happening in my life. I will never forget, as long as I live, the first time I heard the Holy Ghost just talk to me like an audible voice. And, you know, maybe you've heard that, maybe you haven't. I'll never forget, I was coming down Georgetown Road. I was right there where they're doing all that work right now. I was about to turn left on the Paul Huff Parkway, and this was 93, I think it was 93. I'm coming down through there, and I was just like, you know how you'll just drive, and you'll pray, or you'll mutter, as Brother Hagin used to say, and I was just like, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, I got this avenue I can go through. I got this avenue right here I can go through. And it was about employment back then and about a job. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me plain as day. I'll never forget. I was driving that brown van. I had that brown Chevy van. I was about to come right up to the red light. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and he said, I'll bless you in whatever you do as long as you remain in my word. I mean, that was 29 years ago, and I remember it like I'll never forget it. I mean, this voice spoke inside of me. And come to find out, that's a scripture in Psalms 1. In Psalms 1, 1 through 3, the Lord says, if you'll be like a tree planted beside the rivers of water, that whatever you put your hand to will prosper. I didn't know that at that time. I found it later. But the Lord spoke it to me. That was one example. The second time that I heard it, I mean, just so plain as day, I was in Holy Spirit, it's ironic, I was in Holy Spirit class at Rhema my first year. Brother Reggie Knowles was my teacher. And when I went to Rhema, they had this, it was on Tuesday or Thursday, it was called Assembly, is that what it was called?
Exaltation,
that's what it was, Exaltation, and they made announcements then. Well, they had made an announcement that day, said these people need to come to the home office today and, as soon as he can. And so I was just sitting there, Exaltation. I'm listening. They're calling out these names. And they said, Tony Jenkins. And I'm like, huh? My first thing was like, what have I done? I didn't know anything I'd done, Because the last thing I want to do was get expelled from Bible school, And I'm like, and all through, and after Exaltation was my next class was the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm sitting there in class. And I couldn't get this off my mind. I'm like, oh gosh, why do they want me over in the office? Because it's like the hierarchy. If you're like Catholic, that's going to the Pope's office. As somebody used to say, Brother Copeland used to say, it's like going to Oral Roberts. You don't go there. You don't go to his office. Well, that's like at Rhema. That's like going to the office. And so I'm sitting there in Holy Spirit class, and I just couldn't get this out of my mind. I'm like, man, I don't know why they want me over in the office. And I thought, I know what it is. I signed up to help do this, and they want to confirm that's me. That I'm going to do that. And I, honest to God, I heard a voice plain as day. It just is so plain. It said, they've called you to the office because someone's paid your tuition for next month. And I'm like, and honestly, I thought it was somebody sitting in the row behind me. I'm like, and I'm looking back and everybody's down there studying, they're listening. I'm like, what? I heard Brother Hagin talk about that one time. He said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him so loud. He said he turned around. He thought somebody had got into the back seat of his car and was going down the road with him and had said something. And that's the way it was to me. I'm like, and so I pondered on that. And then right after third class that day, I left and I went over to the office. And I'm over there, I'm standing in line with a bunch of other people, and we're all there for different reasons. And so I get up, my turn comes, I get up to the counter. I said, yeah, I said, they call my name at Exaltation and want me to come to the office. And the lady said, what's your name? I told her, and she said, she gets a list out and she looks on it, she goes for gets a drawer here and looks in it, and then she leaves. She comes back in 2 or 3 minutes. She says, I need to see your badge. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to take my badge. I'm being expelled, because you without your badge, you can't do anything. Can't go anywhere on campus. I'm like, here, see. It had a clip on your pocket. I'm like, here. She said, no, I need to see your badge. I need to hold it in my hand. And I said, okay, take it off. I gave it to her, and she reached down in the drawer and she pulled out this thing. It's a little faith shield, and she punched my badge. She handed it back. She said, "Here, someone's paid your tuition for next month." Just like the Holy Ghost said, I'll never forget that. Amen. So clear. And that's just two examples. I know Brother Smith Wigglesworth. He shared a testimony one time. I read in one of his books about. He was riding somewhere with, I don't know if it was, Lester Summerall. I think it was him and Lester Summerall were going somewhere in a taxi. And they got in, and Lester Summerall, he just sat there, and I think the cab driver might have said one or two things, I don't know. And they got out, and I think it was Brother Summerall said, well, that was a nice man, wasn't it? And Brother, Brother Wigglesworth, they say he was very direct. And his point says, Yep, but he said he's going to have to deal with that drinking problem in his life. Never even come up in the conversation. That's how in tune he was to the Holy Ghost inside him. It was telling him things. Just like we read in the scripture a minute ago in John 13, 16. He will tell you things to come. He will show you things. He will show you everything the right way. I know yesterday I was at a upholstery shop here in town. I had a new headliner put in my truck. And I went in and I was talking to the man that owns the business there. We were talking, Brother Al, and Brother Al was saying, you know, he's like, man, he said, pray for me. He said, I just wish I could do more. And I said, what do you mean? What do you mean you wish you could do more? I said, your finances, what is it, you know? I mean, no, my finances are good. My health, you know, my health is just not good, you know. And I mean, man, it hit me like, I just said, let me pray right now. And I just laid my hands on him and I started praying for him, you know, that his health wouldn't fail him, that God would strengthen him. And then I began to prophesy over him. And I said, you are not done. God is not done with you yet. He is not finished with you yet. I said, you are a vessel. And I said, you're touching more people in this job right here that you've got. Then you're touching more people here that'll never darken the door of a church, but they'll come in here and they'll see you, and God's not done with you yet. And I had a bunch of more stuff I shared with him, and he was like, oh man, thank you, you know, so much. I needed to hear that, you know. You're a vessel, and that was just yesterday. These are just examples. You know, sometimes you got to get away and you got to have some rest. And in Mark 6:31, Jesus, he tells the disciples to go aside and rest for a while. Sometimes you got to get out of the hustle and bustle of life, and you got to rest and you got to listen to him. Several years ago, Fifteen years ago, me and Renita were impressed upon by the Lord to adopt a child from the Ukraine. And most of y'all know Oksana, you know, and her story. But I'm like, well, I just left my job, you know, and overseas adoptions, they can be very expensive, you know. And I'm like, Lord, I don't have $20,000+ to do this. I don't have this. But you told me to do this. So I'm believing you. Well, the hustle and bustle that I was in, you know, I was going to a lot of places back then and speaking. And I had flew to Dallas, Texas, and I was at Kenneth Copeland Ministers Conference with a friend of mine, and he flew back. He had to come back to go on some business, and I flew on to Houston, Texas, to visit a friend of mine, Brother Ron, out there. And we were we stayed out there 2-3 days, but when I got on the plane to come back, you know, I got out of the hustle and bustle of everything, and just had a little relaxing time. But when I got on the plane to come back, I just sort of kicked back in my seat. I'm like, oh, this is comfortable. I got a 2-hour flight to, you know, from Texas, Chattanooga. It was straight flight then. I sit there and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm gonna do about this adoption thing. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me just like that. He said, I want you to buy your wife Renita, Aunt Dot, I want you to buy Aunt Dot's house. And he said, fix it up and sell it. And that's going to be your money for the adoption. And he said this, and this is very important right here. He said, and don't put it in real estate hands. Now, nothing against any of you if you sell real estate, that's fine. I believe in that. I just used a realtor to sell my mother's estate, but the Lord said, don't put it in the real estate people's hands. Well, I get back, and so I checked into it, and I'm like, you know, they wanted a little over $100,000 for the house. I don't have $100,000. I didn't have it. And the Lord said, I go to the Lord in prayer. He said, tell them that you'll take it for that amount and to give you 60 days to pay for it. You'll make all the repairs on it that needs to be done, everything. And if you don't pay them in 60 days, they can have the house back completely finished. I said, will they do that, Lord? He said, well, I'm telling you, yeah, they'll do that. So I checked with Dot's daughter and son-in-law, and they're like, yeah, we'll do that, you know. And so, I didn't have the money to do it. You know, I didn't have the money to fix it up. And the Lord said, well, what about that 401k you got, you know, from your last job? And I'm like, ooh, I don't want to use that, you know. That's not my security blanket, you know. You know, God will get you out of that security blanket sometimes, you know. And I'm not telling you to cash your 401k, and don't misunderstand me. I'm telling you what he told me, okay? So I said, okay. So I took it out. God provided me with people to help me do this. He sent me someone to do the outside of it, the landscaping. He sent me, I don't know if y'all remember Big James Bowles or not. He sent me Big James Bowles to come down and help me, you know, do all the inside. The work needed had to be painted inside, the complete thing. The carpets had to be took out. The hardwood floors had to be redone. Long story short, we did all that. Got everything done, and then I'm fixing to go on a mission trip, 3-week mission trip to Ukraine, and as soon as I get back, I'm going to be back a day or two, and then I'm going to be going to Thailand, the Philippines, with Pastor John and Brother Matthew. Remember that? Okay, so there's 5 weeks that I'm going to be gone. Well, at the end of that 5 weeks, my time runs up while I'm gone on the mission trip, you know, my 60 days. But the Holy Ghost, remember the Holy Ghost, he knows. And so I'm at Monday. I think I'm leaving on Friday or Saturday maybe, as you going to Ukraine. And I'm coaching baseball. I'm out here at Bradley North. I'm coaching baseball. I'm on first base. My phone rings. Hello? Yeah, you on the house over there? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well, I'm interested, and I'd like to go look at it. Okay. Keys under the mat. Go over and look at it. I'm sort of busy right now. Yeah, go to second, you know. And all right, I'm going to go look at it. So 2 or 3 innings go by. I'm coaching third base now out there. Phone rings. Hello? Yeah, I went and looked at the house. I'll take it. I said, you'll take it? Yeah, I'll take it. Meet me at the Old Fort restaurant in the morning at 7 o'clock, and we'll work out the details, and I'll pay you the money, you know. Long story short, that's why the Lord said he didn't want me to put it in real estate hands. If I had put it in there, my time would have run out. I would have been disobedient to start with. My time would have run out. I wouldn't have had it sold. That's just what he said to do. So I did it. I sold the house, was able to pay Dot's children direct to them, cleared a little over $20,000 on it, and that was my money for my adoption. Amen. See, the Holy Ghost knows. He knows everything. We're about out of time here, but let me just share a couple more things. He'll lead you in exactly what to do. I don't care whether it's finances. I don't care whether it's who to marry. I mean, Creflo had a good
presentation there a while ago, you know, get started. But the Holy Ghost will tell you who to marry, who not to marry, where to go to work, what kind of car to buy, what kind of car not to buy, where to get it at, if you got a car to sell, how much to sell it for. He will tell you everything that you need to know. I want to share this one thing with you that the Lord, he spoke to me the other day as I was preparing for this message, and he said, you, he told me, he said, you are a tool. I wrote it down, so I wanted to read exactly like I said. He said, you are a tool. I am the potter, and you are the clay. I will form you into a vessel, a cup, that people can drink living water from. And the Lord told me, he said, that's what I'm doing. I'm forming you into a cup that people can drink living water from. But he also wanted me to tell you that you are a vessel too, and that he will form you into that same thing. You can be working for him. I don't care where you're at and what you're doing. If you're a janitor, if you're nothing wrong with any of these things. If you're a janitor, if you work at a fast food restaurant, if you're a corporate lawyer, whatever, there's people out there that you can touch and that he wants to do that through you. Just be able to let him be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Let him work in your life. And I want to finish, but I want to say this one thing right here. Let me say it right. If you have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you have, or if you don't hear clearly from God like you would like to, if you would like to have a clearer way to hear from the Lord, if you want to, I want to pray for you. If you want to come down here, I want to pray for you. I want to join my faith with yours. I don't have anything special magic to give you. I want to join my faith with you where you're at for whatever you're believing for from God. And if you want to do that, I want to pray for you. If you don't, if everybody's good, that's fine. We're going to dismiss and go home. But if you want to pray, prayed for, I'll be glad to lay hands on you and pray for you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Yeah, right now.
It's not that I don't hear from
you. I know that. I know you hear from
you. But I want to hear more.
You want to hear clearer and you want to hear
yes,
better.
I
understand that.
Thank you.
I do. Believe me, I do. Because I was trying to say it the right way.
That's good.
But I know you've read my mail before. I know you here. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for Linda, Father God. And I thank you, Lord. I join my faith with her right now, Lord. To help her, Father God, to hear clear, Lord.
Yes.
Hear clear about the things that you want for her life, what you
yes,
want for her to do,
yes,
where you want her to do it, and how
yes,
you want her to go about it, Lord.
That's right.
Because you have all knowledge and all wisdom.
Yes.
You are the Spirit
yes,
of truth. And I join
yes,
my faith with her now.
Thank
and I thank you, Father
thank
God,
you,
that Linda's going to hear clearer.
Yes.
She's going to hear what she needs to do and wants to do, and
yes,
it's going to be good. It's
yes,
going to be good.
Thank you, Lord.
And I just join my faith with and agree. Your word says where two or more are gathered in my name, you're in the midst of us, and where two or more come together and agree on something, it shall be done for them
yes,
by my Father in heaven.
Yes.
I thank you that it's
thank
done
you,
right now in Jesus'
thank
name.
You. Thank you, Jesus.
And I want to hear about it when it starts happening.
Oh, yes.
I want to hear about it.
You will.
I want to hear about it. You know, I had 10, several years ago I was ministering, I had 10 people come up, I called them out, it was Sunday morning,
And I'm like, you over here, come here, you over here, you here, you here, you here, you here, you here. 10 people come up. It's all right down through here. And the Lord had given me a specific word for every one of them, every one of them, about what they needed to do in their life or what they were going through in their life. And I shared that with every one of them, prayed for every one of them. And by the end of the day, 6 of them had got back to me and told me, you know, that's exactly what I was going through in my life. How did you know that? Well, I didn't. The Holy Ghost did. And I just thank God that He uses me, He continues to use me, and to be a blessing to this body and everybody I come into contact with. I thank you. Thank you, Pastor John.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Everybody stand to your feet. And He can use you too. He's no respecter of person. Glory to God. I love so much Keith Moore. Most of you know Keith Moore. He always says the answer to 1,001 questions is be led. Be led of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. He won't lead you astray. Amen. Praise God. Well, Pastor Mark and Margaret again will be back with us this weekend. So good to see you. God bless you for coming. You're dismissed. Amen.